morning, St. Luke's. No announcements this morning except to say Happy Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. Again you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and verses 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now proclaim, his mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
There is a sound of exultation and victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. the right hand of the Lord hath triumphed.
I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord hath punished me sorely, but he did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter. I will give thanks to you, for you answered me, and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
The reading from the book of Acts, from chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and the other Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the meditation for Easter morning. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary comes to the tomb without expecting anything. She had waited through the Sabbath, and oh, what a horrible Sabbath that must have been. A day not of rest, but restless with guilt, recrimination, anger. Could you not wait with me 1 hour? Could you not walk 1 more mile? Why, she asks, didn't he just keep moving toward the desert? over the Mount of Olives. Why did he have to have that meltdown in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was as if he were asking to be arrested. The longest Sabbath in the world, a Sabbath that even God does not brighten with holy presence. But now the Sabbath is over, and at the first possible moment, at the deepest part of the night, long before dawn, she sets out by starlight. Why? Here in the Gospel of John, she's not bringing spices and oils to complete the anointing of the body. She doesn't bring friends, the other women. She risks going out alone, risks being seen by the Romans looking for the companions of Jesus. But she must go. She's going there to grieve. She comes alone in the dark, in the night's darkness, but in her own darkness of mind, of heart as well. She goes to the tomb just to be there, expecting nothing, but finding everything. The transformation that happens to Mary Magdalene in the Garden of the Resurrection early in the morning is a transformation that for you and me usually takes us all of our Christian lives. Her story is our story, but ours takes place in slow motion. But let's continue the story. When Mary arrives at the grave, she finds that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. She runs back to wherever the disciples are in hiding, and she brings Peter and the beloved disciple, we will call him John. They are not much help, these two great disciples. But everyone comes to the Garden of Resurrection by a different way, Peter and John, you and I. John, the younger man, gets there first. He looks in but hesitates in his thoughtful, respectful, observant way. Peter, when he arrives, barges right in, just as you would expect. They observe the winding sheets lying there, and the sheet which was wrapped around the corpse's head, rolled up by itself in a corner. The beloved disciple, the gospel tells us, saw and believed. But he could not quite put it all together in his mind at the time. In any case, there was nothing Peter and John could do, so they left. But Mary stayed, and she wept. She had come to the tomb to grieve, but now there was not even a body. Someone had desecrated even the tomb in which Jesus had been laid. Horror upon unspeakable horror. But as she wept, she turned and looked inside the tomb again. But now there were two angels there, one at the head and one at the foot of where the body would have been lying had the body been there. The angels said, "Why are you weeping?" "Because," she said, "they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." She turned around again. And then the risen Lord said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Through her blurry tears, through the lens of her own darkness, her own understanding, her own perception of reality, she assumes he's the gardener. Why wouldn't she? You would. I would. She said to him something pretty bold. "If you have taken him, show me, and I'll take him away. Is she strong enough to take a grown man's body away? Maybe. She was a strong woman. But now, oh now, beloved, you can hear him smile right through the gospel pages. Mary, the gospel says here that she turned again. Wasn't she already facing him? Maybe turned means something in addition to her body language. She's turned three times. What is this turning? She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabuni, which means my own teacher. And as you would imagine, she threw herself upon him. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended. What does he mean? Do not cling to what I was. Do not cling to what I ever meant to you before. Do not cling to an image of me. Do not cling to a perception of me. It's all new. Everything is new. You must keep on turning. You must keep awake. You must be alive, as I am, in increasingly challenging ways. You must love with a love as strong as death. You must love in wider, extending circumferences, extending beyond your imagination. Do not cling. Then he said, Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In this act, he made Mary Magdalene the first apostle. An apostle is one who has seen the risen Christ and goes to announce it. Jesus makes her the apostle to the future apostles. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. My friends, the story of Mary Magdalene at the tomb is your story and my story. We, at some point in our lives, we come in dark faith to the tomb of all that we have loved with the old ways of loving. We come to this emptiness not expecting anything. We come perhaps just to grieve, just to be there, close to that which was once precious to us. But we find emptiness even there. Sometimes we give up and go home, like Peter and John. But if we choose to stay, to turn and turn and turn again, at each turning, see more clearly from the new selves the Christ is calling us to be. Do not cling to the old. Your grief transformed. You have a new heart, new eyes. Do not be afraid to come to the tomb with your emptiness. Like Mary, you may expect to find nothing, but you may, in fact, find everything. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The prayers of the people, we will use Form 4, found on page 388. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world.
Amen.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations to the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources wisely in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We remember especially Teresa and her family. Who is on your heart this morning? Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We remember especially Roma. We pray for the repose of her soul. Who is on your heart this morning? Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Grant that in our earthly pilgrimage, we may always be supported by this fellowship of love and prayer. and know ourselves to be surrounded by your witness to your power and mercy. We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom all our intercessions are acceptable through the Spirit, and who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.